You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. In a recent article published by the Washington Institute, professor and lawyer Eric Treen offered a robust alternative way of understanding Christian nationalism and its significance within American culture. Depending on who's talking these days, Christian nationalism is either the greatest danger to America or our only hope in resisting the onslaught of the progressive movement. But there is a better way. As Treen wrote, the current debate over Christian nationalism is just the most recent chapter of something that's an endemic part of the American story. Quote, can Christians honestly look around and conclude that there's more nationalism melded with their faith than in the past? In 1941, President Franklin Roosevelt distributed a pocket New Testament to soldiers throughout the armed services with the inscription, "As Commander-in-Chief, I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the armed forces of the United States," end quote. At the same time, Treen continues, there are real reasons to be concerned about Christian nationalism. Quote, the alarmism about growing Christian nationalism is vastly overblown among some and deliberately manipulated for political reasons among others. But there is a there. He's right. In fact, in the inaugural offering of our Breakpoint Forums, the Colson Center hosted two of American Christianity's keenest voices about the intersection of faith and the public square. Rusty Reno, chief editor at First Things, and Hunter Baker, the newly appointed provost of North Greenville University, addressed the issue of Christian nationalism. Not only do Reno and Baker hail from different church traditions, they took somewhat differing postures in the forum on what faithful citizenship looks like in this cultural moment. Dr. Reno's seriousness about where a globalist perspective has left us leads him to embrace what he called a soft Christian nationalism while objecting to the positions of some of its most outspoken and extreme advocates. As he put it, quote, you have to ask yourself, what would you prefer, a Christian America or a secular America? I'd prefer a Christian America, and in that sense, Christian nationalism, end quote. On the other hand, Dr. Baker argued against using the title Christian nationalism while affirming the largely Christian influence on our nation throughout its history. He insisted that the nation and the church are better off without any kind of formal link, while the nation is still helped by the intentional influence of the church. Here's Dr. Baker, quote, it's like George Washington and the Bible. These are bulwarks of the United States in that period. But for most of our history, it's not the case that the United States government is sort of the official partner of the Christian faith, nor is it seeking to officially establish the Christian faith or Christian institutions, end quote. Well, the differences between our speakers was definitely illuminating, especially given their shared priority of Christian faith, grounding in Christian truth as revealed in Holy Scripture. Each one warned against the danger posed by our increasingly intolerant, secular, and progressive gatekeepers, the ones who sit atop the cultural, academic, and political power structures in our society. The whole conversation was helpful and very enlightening. And while combatants on the extreme ends of this debate insist that it's only their way or the highway, Christians have to seek an increasing Christian influence without falling for the dangers that C.S. Lewis warned us against in God in the Dock. He said, quote, by the mere act of calling itself the quote-unquote Christian party, it implicitly accuses all Christians who do not join it of apostasy and betrayal. We can do better than this. You can watch the recording of the entire Breakpoint Forum on Christian nationalism on YouTube. Working to see a nation become more Christian doesn't make one a Christian nationalist. No, our goal has to be faithfulness. We can long for and we can work for Christian renewal in our time without, as Chuck Colson often warned against, looking for our salvation to arrive on Air Force One. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Dr. Timothy Padgett. And for more resources to live like a Christian today, go to breakpoint.org.
Today on The Winning Walk, with Dr. Ed Young.
All of this that's destroying our America, it's not there. And time again, we have run from truth and we have sat back and said, you know, we can't do anything, and the sovereignty of God, we overdo the sovereignty of God. The Lord God and His Holy Spirit will lead us if we put our full trust in Him.
The truth is, our woke culture wants to sell you a false truth. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Doc Jung concludes this message in the wilderness and shows you how you can walk confidently in God's unchanging truth through the wilderness of our woke culture. You don't want to miss this teaching, so stay put. Before we get to today's message, we want to send you a special resource to equip you to live a distinctive, countercultural life for Christ in these difficult days. The Church Awake is a 12-message series from Dr. Jung designed to help you stay spiritually alert and ready to take your stand for truth. We'll send you The Church Awake as our thanks for your gift to keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Jung's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. Now here's Dr. Ed Jung with today's message, In the Wilderness, Part 2.
We go back so many times and make decisions emotionally. We go back and let this little bitty place way back here decide what we're going to do, how we're going to act. That's the reason some people are still stupid enough to say, just do what your heart wants you to do. Do what you feel like doing. You're using this little bitty back part of your brain. That big tabella, little bitty thing. Big something. If your emotions and your feelings control your life, emotions and feelings are the worst thing we can rely on to make decisions. And they tell us physiologically, when we make decisions emotionally, it shuts down the reasonable part of our brain. Here's the emotion, here's the reason we make emotional decision. The frontal lobe here, the prefrontal lobe cortex, goes out of business. Did you know that? Zip, it happens. We don't know it. So if you just operate on feelings and emotions, you'll never be a good mama bear, and you'll never function in our woke society in any way that gives rhyme or reason to how a man or a woman or a boy or a girl should live. Emotions are a bad thing to be a leader, but emotions are a good thing when they're in concert with the reason part of our mind. And when they work in harmony, therefore we get emotional. I've tried to learn one simple thing. Time out. You know that? Everybody do this. Do this right here. Time out. Everybody do that? Yeah, you got that. You've seen that 100 times. Recently, I got emotional about something. I took a little time out, got more information, and I suddenly tied reason with my emotion, and then what do you have? You have passion. Passion is discipline under control. We had better learn how to discern, and mama bears teach their little cubs how to discern, and we better practice in our lives, because remember the basic fundamental truth. Our children, we can require them to do what we require them to do until they get to be teenagers, and then they begin to do what you do and what I do. Have you noticed that? We can't have to speak it. We have to seek to live it. So discernment. All the voices, what I go, what I do, time, money, what I do. Who do we trust? How do we get our value system? Where do we find those absolutes we can stand on that will always be absolute? Discernment. And then in our woke culture, in comes a woke Trojan horse. Remember the Trojan horse? The Greeks were sieging Troy, and they couldn't get through the walls, and Troy was holding out. But a Greek carpenter, really a sculptor, he made this Trojan horse out of 4 different types of wood. It was a magnificent piece of art. It was 10 feet high. It had all the curves of a beautiful horse. And they presented the gates of Troy and said, this is for the king of Troy. And whenever they opened the gate, they took that horse in. Whew, it was a work of art. And the king would have put it right in the middle of his palace. And it is a fabulous thing. This is a Greek carpenter sculpture giving us a beautiful horse. And you know what happened? When it got dark inside that horse, there were two or three elite Greek soldiers. And they came out, opened the gate, and bang, Troy was destroyed. A Trojan horse has come into the United States of America, into our culture. And guess what that horse has brought into our world? You'd never guess. A new dictionary. Whoa! Just a new dictionary? Yeah. Because a part of selling us on the wokeness of the day, words have to change their meaning. Phrases have to be redone. You want to argue with me? Well, if you're a PhD in philosophy, there's no match. I surrender. You win. But if in this argument you let me define all the words we're going to use, and you let me put the parameters down of where we're going to argue, I can out-argue, out-debate anybody on the planet, any subject, if I can define the words, and if I can put the scope of the debate. And that's what's happening today. Words have changed their meaning. Pronouns. I know students that are interviewing colleges now. And when they go there, they usually have, they always, I guess, have a present student. And the student says to the one they're trying to say, I use the pronouns of they and them. They tell them that right up front. And someone says, well, you know, I'm binary. Someone says, well, I'm in transition. I tolerate anything and everything. They tell them this right up front. And therefore, what happens in classrooms today with so many redefinitions of words and phrases, most students are quiet. They don't say anything. They're afraid they'll use the wrong pronoun. They're afraid they'll use a word that's been thrown out the window, that's antiquated, under the new dictionary that we live under. That's what the Trojan horse has brought us. Let me give you just a little bit of this. They have taken the woke, godless people. By the way, the first thing to show the family, remember? And then they want to do away with government. And by the way, in today's woke society, there are some words you just cannot say. Constitution. Oh. Capitalism. Christianity. Man, don't speak those words. They're not apropos. And whatever you do, don't show any semblance of patriotism. You'll be thrown out of the club. You're not woke. You're not with it. And they've taken wonderful phrases and used some of our words, spiritual words. They say things like, Jesus accepts everyone. Jesus was a refugee. Jesus does not build walls that keep people from him. People need to live their truth. A real Christian accepts everyone and applauds their position. And then they take words like, committed felon is a justice-involved person. Ex-cons, a returning resident. Oh yeah, a parolee, a person under supervision. Folks, you think, I'm making this up? No, this is truth in the eyes of our woke world in which we live. And then some more phrases. Are you opposed to abortion? Then you hate women. If you're opposed to same-sex marriage, you're a bigot. If you believe the U.S. should have strong borders, you're a racist. If you're opposed to China's dictatorial government or inquire whether COVID-19 escaped from a lab in Wuhan, you are xenophobic. If you believe that people should show an ID to vote, you're destroying democracy. Hey, this isn't mythology. I'm not from Mars. I'm from right here in River City, right here in the United States of America, and this is what is happening to us. And two words they have most abused is the word love and the word truth. Love and truth. Love without truth is mushy. Truth without love is cold. And they try to take those words away from us, but they must always go together, covered in grace. Now, truth. Truth. People say that now our church is in the political arena. No, I don't particularly like elephants or donkeys. I've never belonged to either one of those arenas. Don't misunderstand. But when the political world begins to lie to us, things we know to be true, the posture of the church and that Bible is to speak the truth as best we can in love. We have been told over and over and over again, the border is secure. How many times have we heard that from the president, from Homeland Security, from all of those in the woke world? The border is secure, the border is secure. And my question is, secure from what? As far as I know, there hadn't been a stampede of rhinoceroses crossing the border. But there is a tremendous immoral thing going on at our southern border, ladies and gentlemen, and it is beyond belief. It is not fair to those who are coming over here seeking to be a part of the American dream. There are some like that coming from persecution, but so many of them are criminals as they've emptied the jails of Central and South America, and over 100 different countries have come here from really around the world, and they're coming for all kinds of reasons. Many of them are bringing drugs, fentanyl. And fentanyl this past year killed, at last number, 72,000 Americans. You know about fentanyl? You can't smell it. You can't taste it. And 2 grains, I didn't say grams, I said grains of salt, little grains of salt, of fentanyl will kill a person. Did you get that? And they're taking this from China, they're mixing it with heroin and other things, and sometimes they stamp it to make it look like candy. And it's being spread all over America, and the death result is overwhelming. Even this past week, Governor Mark Dunleavy of Alaska, and Alaska is a state that's farther from the southern border than any other state. Did you know that? He is crying out for help because the fentanyl and the illegals are coming there. And he is crying out for help. And we just sprinkle a few of these illegals in Martha's Vineyard and in New York and in Chicago, and they go crazy. And they say, we're not prepared for this. We're not border states. What do you think the couple of million have come here? And we out of a thing of compassion? No. When the cartels control both sides of the border, they have agents 30 miles in watching out in the United States of America. Let me tell you something. It is a lack of compassion to those who would come and is deadly to those who are here. And I'm tired of being lied to by people saying the border is secure. We're supposed to have checks and balances in our government, right? The Constitution does that. Aren't we? There's a legislative, the judicial, the executive, right? And what we have, I know, in the executive branch, on 2 occasions, our president has said, I'm going to do something or not do something, even though the Supreme Court has already decided on the opposite side, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to do one of these two things. Where is the balance of power, ladies and gentlemen? It's not there. It's not there. All of this that's destroying our America, it's not there. And time again, we have run from truth and we have sat back and said, you know, we can't do anything, and the sovereignty of God, we overdo the sovereignty of God. What if David there with faith with Goliath is said, well, if God wants to kill Goliath, he can. I'm not getting out of the fray. He didn't, did he? He used what he had with that little slingshot and he killed a giant. We have to use what we have. It is a sad, sad day when we see this redefinition of life being poured upon us through every institution that we see in place. I don't know about you, I'm not going to be woke, I'm going to awake. We need discernment. Get both sides of our brain operating. But in this, we have to be exceedingly careful. Do you remember when Jesus was going to Jerusalem and he had his apostles with him and they came to a Samaritan city? And the Samaritan city rebuked them, evidently harmed them, and threw them out. And James and John said, Lord, do you want me to call down lightning on them? I felt like that. And Jesus said, no. I'm in the salvation business. I'm in the salvation business. Let's move on out. Now, folks, we have to stand for truth. Vote not for elephants or donkeys. Vote for individuals who will really change the diseased culture in which we live. The question is, whom can we trust? Whom can we trust? We'd better stay close to biblical, living, godly living daily in our devotional time and in the weekend in the body of Christ so we can put our trust in the Lord God Almighty and Him alone. Oh. We forgot about Rosie. Yeah. There was Michael holding on to Rosie. And then all the lights went out in the building. Boy, they were screaming, hollering, we can't see. Debris was falling, dirt and dust were everywhere, and Rosie never broke stride. And now, because it was total darkness, Michael was like everybody else, though he'd been born blind. And he just followed Rosie. And a group started following Rosie. Glass was coming, dust was coming. Rosie led Michael and a group of people down 1,463 steps. It took an hour to get there. And when they got there, there were all kind of voices going on. Man, stay inside, don't go outside, go up the elevator, don't take the stairs. Rosie never broke stride. The minute she left the 78th floor, she never broke stride. Michael stayed right, because Michael put his trust in Rosie. And the little group following put their trust in Rosie. And Rosie immediately went outside when the police were staying inside. And when they went outside, Michael said he heard what sounded like a mighty freight train and mighty waters falling, because the second tower now had fell. There was dirt, filth, smoke, cries, death, people jumping out of rooms way up there in the buildings. There at that moment was a member of our church. Yeah, Dr. Sean Boutros was a plastic surgeon doing his residency there in New York. He got on his motorcycle and drove right there, was one of the first physicians there. And he cared for I don't know how many people and saved I don't know how many lives. He can tell you what was going on. Voices, shouting, cries, nowhere to go. Rosie never broke stride. Rosie never broke stride. And finally, when all this was falling and nobody could see and they were inhaling in their lungs, Rosie suddenly went down some steps and took them down there underground where there were the trains, and suddenly the air was clean. And Rosie walked around the other side, and 31 people who followed Rosie, they trusted Rosie, they were saved. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's emotionalism. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That's the prefrontal cortex of reason. Emotionalism and reason. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding, but upon God's understanding. And what does it say? He will direct your path. Basic, simple, doable, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and somehow, and all the shouts and all the half-truths, mixed-up truths, all the noise, the debris, the Lord God and His Holy Spirit will lead us if we put our full trust in Him.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
When we say, "The Lord is my shepherd," we're making a powerful statement. We're trusting Jesus to walk before us, to protect us, and provide the direction we so desperately need. The relationship between a shepherd and his sheep is a beautiful one. He calls each and every one by name. They follow him because they know his voice. We need to take time to be quiet enough for long enough to hear the still small voice of our shepherd and Lord. Today we can ask God to give us the discernment we need to determine what is true, what is right, what is good. But you have to be willing to trust Him.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to help you stand firm for the truth of God's Word at this critical time in our culture by sending you Dr. Young's 12-message series, The Church Awake. This resource will equip you to live a distinctive, countercultural life for Christ in these difficult days. So call now to request The Church Awake as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening today to The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young begins his message, Socialism versus Capitalism, showing you why socialism is a doomed system.
Marshall Donor AC and Appliance in Orlando reminds listeners that when properly maintained, the life expectancy for commercial and residential HVAC systems is 15 to 20 years. Without regular maintenance, that number can drop. If you're considering the DIY route to repair your unit, it could be very costly in the long run. That's why it pays to call your local trusted heating and air specialists at Marshall Donor AC and Appliance. Call 407-415-4044 for Marshall Donor AC and Appliance in Orlando.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, Voice of Brevard.
That's Christ. God installs a receiver.
But Dr. Tony Evans says what we'll hear through that receiver depends on whether or not we've selected God's channel.
Our goal today is to increase our ability to pick up the frequency of heaven.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Radio waves can include wireless transmissions of information that allow our cell phones, radios, garage door openers, and many other everyday appliances to work. Well, Dr. Evans says God has his own communication network, and it's constantly transmitting spiritual information to believers. But unless we're tuned in and ready to receive, we're going to miss out on what the Lord is trying to tell us. Let's join Dr. Evans as he begins an exploration of the frequency of heaven.
That satellite dish on my roof receives a signal from a satellite up there in the ionosphere that I do not see. A signal from up there is grabbed on my roof, translated to my receiver, so I can see clearly what an invisible wave has to say. When a person accepts Christ, God installs a receiver, a capacity to pick up signals from up there. You don't see up there, but it's a frequency to the house that your soul lives in, where your satellite dish is located. Connected to the satellite dish of the soul is a receiver, your spirit. Your spirit receiver translates to your soul a picture, if you will, of the frequency from heaven, so that you can live it out in history. Because we do not either understand it or operate by it, we have receivers that are regularly turned off. Now, if you're a believer, you have one. But if a receiver is turned off, you don't get a picture, even though you have the capacity to get a picture. Every believer has been given the capacity of the Holy Spirit to speak to the human spirit, to talk to the soul, so you can see spiritual reality. But because we do not operate that way consistently, we're often looking at a blank TV screen. We're not getting a picture. Paul talks about this in detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he informs us about the frequency of heaven. He says in verse 9, "For just as it is written, things which eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, and which hath not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." Now, first, when you hear that, you might think he's talking about heaven. But look at verse 10. "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit." So he's talking about something that God has revealed, not something that is awaiting us in the sweet by and by. He's talking about the illuminating work of the Spirit to give us the frequency of heaven, the invisible wave from up there, what God has revealed through his Spirit that allows the receiver to translate it to your life. We'll tell you how as we go along. He says, "For the Spirit," verse 10, "searches out all things, even the deep things of God." God's Spirit has a Google search engine. Now, I know I'm on dangerous territory right now, because everybody knows about my limited knowledge of technology. But I've used Google enough to know it's got a lot of information I don't have. It has a world of information. I have been corrected by Google, informed by Google, challenged by Google. I have investigated things by Google, because it's a body of knowledge bigger than my brain can absorb. He says the Spirit searches the deep things of God. That is, God's Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, has access to God's database. And he does a deep search, like a deep sea diver. He can go down in places and collect data that goes beyond your human limited finite capacity can assimilate. Because he goes to the deep things of God. And remember, you have the receiver. I'm amazed that all the movies that you can get, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of movies, simply because you have a receiver that can pull it down from up there in an invisible frequency to give you a picture down here. Well, he says that's what the Spirit does. Like an engine in a car, the Holy Spirit has been placed in every believer. Verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Just as a person knows what is in their thoughts, that you, outside of me, can only guess that until I tell you. You don't know what I'm thinking, what I'm contemplating, what I'm perceiving inside. You can only think you know, or hope you know, or wish you know, but you can't really fully know until it's expressed. So it is, he says, the Spirit knows the deep things of God, because the Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. He is God, and so he knows the deep things of God. And of course, God has all knowledge about all things because he is omniscient, full knowledge. And the Spirit knows that. So since the Spirit knows all that God knows, then to get correct information from God, you have to be in touch with the Spirit because he's got the information. Now we have received, talking about Christians, believers, not the spirit of the world. This is very important. Stay with me here. But the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. I need to read that verse again. For we have received, every Christian has received, the receiver, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who, because he's a person, who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. That verse is pregnant. If you want to know the things that God has to say, you cannot be operating from the spirit of the world. Amen. You see, it says, we've not been given the spirit of the world. That's not what God gave us. He gave us the spirit that is from God. And the beautiful thing about it is, he says it's free. Now, I don't know about you, but DirecTV, not free to me. It's freely given by God, but it's not the spirit of the world. One of the reasons that our spiritual televisions don't work, we don't get a picture of what God thinks, what he wants to say, how he wants to guide us, how he wants to us to look at a situation. One of the reasons the TV doesn't come on is we're using the wrong receiver. He has not given us the spirit of the world. So if you are pulling in, utilizing rabbit ears, don't be surprised the TV won't work. Okay, analog is over. He is now operating on, or you and I are to be operating on, a whole new frequency. The Holy Spirit operates like the dimmer switch in your house, where you can turn up the light to see clearer. The dimmer switch down, you see nothing. Not because the switch does not work, but it's not turned up. You're not operating with the switch. But when you turn it up, you see, because now light becomes clearer. Well, when we learn, when you and I learn, increasingly, progressively, ongoingly, to operate by means of the Spirit, things get clearer. This is called illumination. John says this in St. John chapter 14, verse 17. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. He says, the world can't get this information. So if you're not operating with the receiver that God has placed in you, you don't get the information either, because you're not operating on this receiver, what he calls the Spirit of truth, similar to what he's saying here.
So what are we supposed to do now that we know God is sending us heavenly information? Well, Dr. Evans will return with some action items for us when he continues in just a moment. First, though, as we've been learning, there are really two ways to look at life. And when we keep our focus on God and tune in to seeing things the way he sees things, we find new strength and peace to overcome the challenges facing us. Today's message comes from Dr. Evans' sermon series called Developing Kingdom Vision. You can get all 7 full-length messages as a part of a thank you package we put together for those who will support Tony's ministry with a donation. In addition to the audio collection, we are also including a copy of Kingdom Focus, one of Tony's newest books that builds on the importance and value of adopting a kingdom-centered perspective. Getting this special package is easy. Just visit us at tonyevans.org or give us a call at our 24-hour resource request line, 1-800-800-3222. Our friendly team members are ready to help you. Again, that's tonyevans.org or by phone at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that contact information after the second part of today's message and this.
Far too many of us want to throw in the towel before we've thrown up the prayers.
Dr. Tony Evans says Christians have a habit of underusing or overlooking our most valuable spiritual resource.
Grace is available, but only at the throne, and you can only approach the throne through prayer.
You can deepen your connection with the Lord through our in-depth course on Kingdom Prayer at the Tony Evans Training Center. You'll discover how God has wired the world to work by prayer and experience for yourself how it connects heaven with earth and time with eternity. You'll not only gain a new understanding and appreciation for prayer, you'll actually pray in transforming ways you've never experienced before. The course is intense, but you can work through it at your own pace and get all the help you need through our online forum. And, of course, there's custom content from Tony not available anywhere else. Connect with the Tony Evans Training Center at tonyevans.org. It's like having a seminary on your smartphone or other device. Start today, tonyevans.org.
Our goal today is to increase, turn up the dimmer switch, our ability to pick up the frequency of heaven. And so he says, you have the Spirit, you have receiver, you receive. He goes deeper, verse 13. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, watch it, but in those taught by the Spirit, comparing spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So the moment you bring man's viewpoint into the discussion that is contrary to God's viewpoint, your receiver shuts off. One of the reasons why we don't pick up the signal is it has to keep shutting down every day, because we appeal to human wisdom. You must bring your thinking in line with God's thinking. When you and I were born, we were born with a defect called the sin nature. It's like a mirror that's been cracked and distorted. Every person born is born with a cracked soul because they're born with a dead spirit. When a person is converted, that's the natural thing, because it's natural to every person born. When a person accepts Christ, they are converted, so that the spirit, the receiver, comes alive in order to communicate to the cracked soul, because everybody's born with a cracked soul. But this new receiver can send data to the cracked soul. But the natural man does not have this receiver. So the natural man operates with a cracked soul that doesn't pick up a divine wavelength. Can't pick it up. He says it cannot. He cannot understand it. Now the problem is that a Christian can function naturally. That's why chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 calls them carnal or fleshly Christians. They're Christians, but they are functioning with their receiver off. The receiver is not turned on, and so they have it, so they are functioning naturally, so they can pick up the thinking of non-Christians. They can agree with the worldview of non-Christians. You hear it all the time. I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, I don't feel that way. Well, that's not how I was raised. Well, I know my truth. See, what you're hearing is the conversation of a natural Christian. Amen. They're Christians, but they've been so neutralized by how natural they are, that the receiver is not working, so the new data is not kicking in. So they're operating on how they were raised, or what they heard in school, or what they've seen in the media. He says the natural man cannot receive the things from the Spirit of God. Every Christian has a receiver. The job of the receiver is to pick up invisible frequencies from heaven to get a picture on earth for life. All of life, anything in life. And dependent upon how intact and how interactive you are with the receiver, the Holy Spirit, he's called in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 27, the anointing. That's what that means, the signal, the anointing. He says, you've received the anointing. In fact, he says in 1 John 2, verse 20 and 27, he says, this anointing, this receiver, the Spirit, is so powerful that you have no need for a man to teach you. Woo! What is he saying? Because the Bible talks about teachers, and they're teaching us now by writing the Word of God. What he's saying is, if the anointing is working and the receiver is on, you no longer need to be dependent on a non-Christian worldview. Talks about man, he's talking about natural man. Not learning from Christians, but natural man. You have no need for anyone to teach you. A strong Christian doesn't need an atheist evolutionist to tell him how the world began. It ain't that deep. You don't need for that man to teach you. You don't need. Now, you may need to go there to pass the course if you're in that kind of college, but you don't need him to teach you about how the world began. From a one-cell amoeba, from a big bang. You don't need that. That's why David said, I knew more than my teachers. Because they educated fools. Because you got to be one to believe in atheistic evolution. Make a monkey out of you. So, the natural man can't do it, and the Christian who functions naturally can't do it. So, he goes deeper now. Verses 15 and 16. But he who is
spiritual. Ah. He who is spiritual, not natural, not carnal, chapter 3. He says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men. Brethren, you're Christian, but I can't talk to you like you're spiritual. But as to men of flesh, carnal, as to infants in Christ. I wish I could give you this spiritual stuff, but y'all are Christians with your receiver off. Did you know you could be in church with your receiver off? Because you're still functioning naturally. He says, but you who are spiritual, who is a spiritual Christian? A spiritual Christian is a man or woman who consistently operates from a divine frame of reference. Let me say that again. A spiritual Christian or a spiritual person is a Christian who consistently operates from a divine frame of reference. In other words, they want to know God's perspective up front.
Dr. Tony Evans on tuning in to what God wants us to hear. He calls it the frequency of heaven, and it's one lesson in his powerful sermon series, Developing Kingdom Vision. You can get a copy of this full-length message on its own, or better yet, receive it as a part of the entire series. If you request the complete 7-part series, you'll receive the messages on CD or digital download, bundled along with a special bonus, Tony's companion book, Kingdom Focus. This special package is our way of saying thanks when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. All the details are waiting for you at tonyevans.org. Just look for the offer right on the homepage, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 for some in-person help. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Well, before I mention what's coming up tomorrow, Dr. Evans would like to share this important invitation with you.
Imagine a life free from pain, suffering, and regret, where you encounter no hardships, no limitations, and make no mistakes. Well, that's the life God meant for you and me, and that's the life He offers to those who are willing to accept it. God's promise of an eternal existence in heaven, filled with His presence, free from the burdens and struggles that accompany life here on earth, awaits each of us who believe in Jesus Christ. You can invite Jesus into your life right now and experience His profound gift of eternal love and peace. Just say this simple prayer with me, but mean it for yourself. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son who died on the cross in my place for my sin, and I am trusting Him alone to forgive me and give me the free gift of eternal life He promised to anyone who came to Him for it. Thank you for saving me. Help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd like to learn more about getting your new life in Jesus started off right, visit tonyevans.org and click on the link at the top of the page that simply says Jesus. You'll find more information there with plenty of helpful resources. Many times when we say, I know what you're thinking, it turns out we really don't. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk about how the Holy Spirit can actually help us think the thoughts of Jesus. Be sure to join him for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.